Turn back with me, if you would, to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Every man and woman on this earth has a God. Every single man and woman on this earth. To an atheist, which is a person who says they don't believe in God, he is his own God. But every man and woman on this earth has a God. But they don't all have the same God. And that's sad and it's dangerous because there's only one true and living God. I want to know who that God is, don't you? Thousands and thousands of men are standing up right now. Thousands of men are standing up right now preaching Jesus. The question is, which Jesus are they preaching? Usually it doesn't take me long to realize when I'm talking to somebody about the Lord, we don't believe in the same Jesus. It's sad. Everybody's always talking about the Spirit. Boy, the Spirit got a hold of somebody today. Well, the Scripture says in 1 John 4, verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." People say, "Oh, I love the gospel. I love the gospel. My mom, she loved the gospel." Well, which gospel do you love? That's the question. Which gospel do you love? There is only one God. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one and only Spirit is His Spirit. And the gospel is concerning Him. Now we're going to use Isaiah 40 verse 9 for a text. We're going to turn quite a bit today. And we're going to use Isaiah 40, verse 9, for our text this morning. Let's read that. It says, "O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." Behold your God. Not their God. We're not here this morning to talk about their God. Your God. Our Lord said in John 12, verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up, and if they behold their God, if they look to me, they'll live. Cry unto the cities, behold." look. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Behold. This morning we're going to behold our God as He is, who He is. Turn over with me to Isaiah 42. God the Father says in Isaiah 42, verse 1, behold my servant. Behold my servant. You know what we're here to do this morning? We're just going to stop and look. That's all we're going to do. And here's what he says. Would you just take a minute and behold my servant? Everything that I've prophesied in the Old Testament, he will fulfill it. Everything. Would you behold this servant? Verse 1 says, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. He's the one I've chosen, mine elect, to be the Savior of every sinner that I've put inside Him. Verse 1 says, I have put my Spirit upon Him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He's going to bear this task willingly. And he's going to do it all by himself. Verse 2 says, he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He has no need to. He's the only one able to perform this. Verse 4 says, he shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know the whole time that our Lord walked this earth, not one time did He ever get discouraged? Every single thing that came, He's happy about it. We could be that way as well. But our flesh is so weak. If we would trust Him and believe His Word and believe that all things work together for good and believe that my every step is already ordered and everything I'm ever going to sign in my life, and I could just rest. I get a phone call. You ain't going to believe this. Something's changed. Okay. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Behold my servant. What's his mission? What's he here to do? Verse 7 says, he's going to open the blind eyes. He's going to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's what he's going to do. That he is your God. If you'll take a look at him, you'll see your God. Isn't that something? Here's the amazing thing to me, is he's my God too. Their God is not like our God. He shall not fail. You just take a minute and ponder that. Now turn to John 19. John 19, verse 5 says, "Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns." Now I'm going to read that again. Let's enter into this. "Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Behold the man. Behold the fact that our God was and is truly a man." Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son," a real man. "And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. "Behold this man, born by the Holy Spirit of God. He was born under the law, a real man, subject to all of God's laws, a real man. He was tempted as a real man, yet without sin. No sin in this man. He grew weary with his journeys. The scripture says he hungered. He said, I thirst. He groaned in his spirit. He became exceedingly sorrowful. He wept. Can you picture our Lord's face? Behold the man. That is your God. And that's my God. Now look right here in John 19 at verse 14. "And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king." Behold your king. Do you want to see your king? Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 9. This is two books before the end of the Old Testament, right before Malachi. Zechariah chapter 9. Oh man, we love our king, don't we? Zechariah chapter 9, look at verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. That's how you're going to know your king. Now turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2 verse 1 says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. He was born king. Now turn to Matthew chapter 8. Verse 23 says, And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, can you imagine the ocean? You've seen on TV the ocean just roaring, and then finally it starts to settle down, and everything gets smaller and smaller and smaller, right? Here's what I believe happened. It was roaring, and it was just tossing, and it was going, and when he rebuked it, it went boom. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? What manner of man is this? He's the king. That's who he is. Even the winds and the sea obey him. That's your king. Now turn to Matthew chapter 12. Verse 42 says, The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, King Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was a great king. The Lord God gave Solomon more than he gave anyone else ever. More vastness, more riches, more glory, more wisdom than anyone else. But behold, a greater than Solomon is here. That's your king. Now turn to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 1 says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto thee, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Hosanna means, oh, save. It means, we adore you. And all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? He's the king. That's who he is. He's God's king. He's your king. And he's my king. Now turn with me to Luke 23. Luke 23, look at the end of verse 38. It says, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, that's 12 noon, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. That's 3 p.m. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. This king is so high. He is so holy. As he hung on that cross, the sun up in the sky bowed in majestic reverence and refused to shine for 3 hours. Behold your king. As the king died, the sun stopped. What a king. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Now turn to Job 40. Thank you. Job 40, verse 3 says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'Behold, I am vile. I'm vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth.'" If God will open my eyes this morning, if He'll cause me to see, if a sinner ever truly sees God's servant, if we poor pitiful excuses for men ever see the man, if we ever truly behold our King, do you know what we'll say? "Behold, I am vile. I'm so much more vile than I thought I was. I'm so wretched. Who shall deliver me? If I stand before God just as I am, God is going to kill me." Turn to John chapter 1. John 1, verse 29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, 'Behold, the Lamb.'" "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb Himself. He's a male without spot or blemish. He was slain, and His blood was poured all over the mercy seat in glory. Turn back one page to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 38 says, "And He said unto them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet.'" He said, you see that right there? Look to that. You just look to that. You just behold that. It is finished. Judgment has taken place for all those who the servant came to die for. The law has been satisfied. Do you see that? For all those who the man came to live for. Mercy has been born for all those who dwell in the King's domain. Why? Behold, the Lamb was slain. Now I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Stop for just a minute. pull it all together for just a minute and behold what manner of love. He did it while we were yet sinners. He didn't do it while we were these good people in suits and ties. He loved His own even to the death of the cross. Behold, what manner of love. He loved His own in spite of the fact that He came unto His own and His own received Him not. Peter said, I do not know Him and I don't want to know Him. His church cried, crucify Him. Behold, what love. When I behold that, I fall in love with Him. I really do. The altogether lovely one. When I behold that, my heart's desire is Him. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. All I want to do for the rest of my life is just look at how beautiful He is. That's all I want to do. Behold the beauty of the Lord. When He was here, He veiled His beauty. And He had no form or comeliness that we should desire Him. But He is not veiled anymore. The veil has been rent. And I cannot wait to behold His beauty. I just can't wait. Now turn with me to Revelation 22. He says, you're not going to have to wait very long. Revelation 22, verse 12, He said, behold, I come quickly. I am coming very quickly. My reward is with me. Be watching. Be looking. Be beholding. Be waiting. To all those who don't care, be warned. I'm coming. Behold. That's your God. That's my God. Cry unto the cities. Behold your God. May the Lord allow us to behold Him right now. Stand together with me.